Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Time now to welcome in our speaker this morning. And good morning to all of you who've been joining us through the first part of our service. And good morning to Mark. How are you, Mark?
Very well, thank you.
It is so good to have you. After you.
Yeah, still reflecting on that glorious service last night.
Ah, it was great. Yeah, and yeah, for those of you who missed it, you can catch up online. But we had a blast. Mark, you've got Advent 4, always a good week. So I'm going to leave us all in your very capable hands. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share this morning.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to listen to your word. And I pray that you will open our ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. Amen. Well, week before last, I was babysitting my two grandsons, who were proudly telling me about their parts in their school nativity play. The youngest was to be a star, that is, a star up in the sky, not the star of the show. But the eldest had landed the plum role of the Archangel Gabriel and is full of it. I can't actually remember what part, if any, I played in a nativity play when I was that age. I'm sure all of you out there might be able to remember. So maybe after the sermon, you could pop into the comments the parts that you played. But I wonder how many people were really excited at the time and to be given the part of Joseph. Because I think he can sometimes be the forgotten actor in the Christmas story. In researching this talk, I was surprised to find out that not a single word that Joseph may have spoken is actually recorded in the Bible. So what do we know about him? Well, he was engaged to and then married Mary. He was a carpenter by trade. And as a descendant of David, he went up to Bethlehem for the census that the Roman emperor had ordered, taking the pregnant Mary with him. After the wise men's visit, he took Mary and Jesus to Egypt to escape Herod's persecution and brought them back after Herod had died. We can read that he takes Mary with Jesus to present the baby in the temple in accordance with the Jewish law and custom. And the last we read of him in the Bible is when he and Mary bring the 12-year-old Jesus to the Passover feast in Jerusalem and then have to go back for him when he's left behind in the temple. After that, nothing. It's assumed by commentators that perhaps Joseph died sometime before Jesus' adult ministry began, and certainly by the time of the crucifixion, because on the cross, Jesus commends his mother into the care of the disciple John, which presumably he wouldn't have done if Joseph was still alive at the time. As to his age, well, traditionally in art, he's shown as much, much older than Mary, but we don't know for sure. So that's a snapshot of Joseph's life, as recorded in the Bible, at least. From it, what can we glean about his character and how that might help and encourage us today? Well, in our reading, Joseph is described as a righteous man. But I think we can also deduce that he was a kind one. For one's wife or future wife to become pregnant not by you, was, to put it mildly, a serious matter. Adultery was punishable by death or stoning, at least. Yet Joseph didn't want Mary to suffer public disgrace, nor did he want her to be shamed. Rather, he decided, and remember, this is even before God had spoken to him via the angel, to let her go peacefully. If we feel that we've been offended by somebody, or slighted, or embarrassed, or let down, how do we react? Do we lash out? Do we send that email without thinking? Do we strike back with harsh words or go off in a huff? Or, like Joseph, do we react with kindness and forgiveness? Do we look for the good of others before ourselves? Joseph was an obedient man. He listened to what God said. We heard that an angel of God appeared to him in a dream, told him what he must do. And Matthew records that when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Well, all right, we might not be blessed to receive a message direct from God, courtesy of an angel, although who knows? But God still speaks to us in many ways, through our prayers, through scripture, in conversation with our friends, with our fellow Christians, with the clergy. I think God certainly spoke to me through that music and singing in church last night. So we need to make time and space to listen for God's guidance and expect to hear from God, not think that that's something that happens to somebody else. And prayerfully consider whether we have to act on what we hear, even if that's a difficult choice, like the choice Joseph made to take his family to Egypt. Which brings me to the next aspect of Joseph's life, that for a while at least, he and his family were refugees. They had to flee Herod's persecution. I wonder how they were received in Egypt. Were they treated with sympathy and kindness? I must admit that when I hear stories of hundreds of people or thousands of people trying to enter the UK illegally, my knee-jerk reaction is often negative. Well, we've got enough problems here. Shouldn't they be claiming asylum somewhere else? They're only economic migrants. But then, if I put myself in the position of a father of a family trying to get a better life for his wife, partner, children, to what lengths would I be prepared to go? And how would I want to be received when I get there? And just generally, okay, we're not refugees, but when we go through difficult circumstances, when the comfortable routine of our life is disrupted, we need to try and trust God to carry us through the hard times. Thirdly, Joseph, of course, was a family man. He did the sort of things that were usual at the time. He went with his wife Mary to bring the baby Jesus, in accordance with the Jewish law and custom, for presentation in the temple, just as a child today might be brought for infant baptism. He went up to Jerusalem for the regular Passover festival. Today, most of us are not called to be teachers or evangelists or priests or healers and so on. For some of us, calling it this stage of our lives, maybe to be a friend to others, an uncle, an aunt, father, mother, grandparent, to the best of our ability, to pass on our faith to the next generation. And that's good in God's sight. Finally, Joseph was an ordinary man. He wasn't one of the lowest, like the shepherds on the hillside, nor was he one of the so-called sinners, the tax collectors and so on. He was a carpenter, holding down a responsible and worthwhile job. In fact, someone rather like you and me. Yet God chose to use him effectively to be the foster father of Jesus. And as far as we know, he accepted that role uncomplainingly. Of course, there's many other examples throughout the Bible where Jesus uses ordinary people to be part of his story. Moses, David, the disciples, Mary, and many more throughout history. And even today, God works through us to be his hands and feet here on earth. And we should never feel that we're not good enough or special enough to do great things for God. So what was it we prayed when lighting the Advent candle? We light this candle to remind us that God can do extraordinary things in our lives. So, what might God be asking you or I to do for him today? So, there we have Joseph, a kind man, a family man, someone obedient to God, someone who suffered hard times as a refugee, and above all, an ordinary person, someone just like you and me, whom God may choose to use as an important part in his continuing story. Amen.